Paul Hunter. Paul is the co-creator of Apple TV Plus's comedy drama series, Government Cheese. It takes place in the San Fernando Valley in 1969. David Oyelowo portrays Hampton Chambers. After he finds religion while in prison, he invents a self-sharpening drill, which his son Einstein names the Bit Magician. But between Hampton and his entrepreneurial dream stand the shady Prevost brothers. And he has to win back his wife and his two sons, who are not exactly excited to see him after his three-year jail sentence. Paul says much of Government Cheese, right down to the title, was inspired by his own childhood.
I thought about this time with my family, with my dad, with my mom and my brother. And it was I wanted to create from those emotions. And, my dad would often say, listen, we're going to get past this. This is, we laugh and joke about it. And, that's the Hampton character.
I received this winning vision from Yahweh himself, but more importantly, the strength to guide this lost flock, our family, back on the righteous path.
And, I wanted to see Black characters in a unique way. And I felt that, how we grew up in my family, I thought it'd be interesting to see the quirk and the oddness.
Is he really going to make a drill?
If you break it, fix it. And if you don't have it, make it.
Dad can make something out of nothing. He's like an alchemist.
His mother was the same way. She made the best sandwiches out of nothing but government cheese and white bread.
All that poison food is probably what made him a criminal.
Probably what made him inventive.
The character was based on my dad, who, at one point, he was incarcerated, and I would go to visit him. And we actually had fun. He was kind of like the mayor. Pull all types of people together. And when he got out, you would think that, okay, this is a guy who is going to be down on his luck. And, but he was quite the opposite. He was actually, came out to, had a lot to say in terms of encouraging, inspiring our family.
While I was away, I didn't just count the minutes until I got back home. I came up with a plan that's going to make our family the toast of Chatsworth.
And I think that speaks to a lot of us. It can speak to a lot of people,
Definitely. Very well said. And Hampton's also a dreamer and a hustler, which can be kind of a dangerous combination. He's always determined to do things the right way. And one of the things that he sort of puts his dreams into is the self-sharpening drill. Can you tell us about this invention?
Sure. I used to sell cutting tools, and I worked in a warehouse, as a kid and around aerospace companies. And so I was around a lot of the machine shops growing up and talking to some of the machinists there, and they'd have all these kind of wacky ideas. So inspiration kind of sort of grew from that.
A drill.
Not just any drill. It self-sharpens as it works, saving you time, and time is money.
So you've reinvented yourself as an inventor.
And so the Hampton, I thought it'd be fun to throw the Hampton character in that world, especially in a time period where, you didn't really see a Black tool salesman during that time, really. And I thought it'd be interesting to watch this character with his background go in there and try to talk to some engineers and to try to sell an idea through it. I thought it'd be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot of fun. You were absolutely right about that. I've got to ask you about the Prevost brothers. Who are they, and what role do they play in the Government Cheese story world?
So the Prevost, my family's from New Orleans. So they that was kind of an inspiration there to sort of go, okay, Prevost. We actually knew the Prevost when we, back in where I grew up. And so they're sort of a group of brothers from Canada who were poor, and they sort of learned to work together as a group, and they sort of got into some trouble with some motorcycle gangs and left there and came to California and took over an orange grove. Oh. And if you know the history of Los Angeles and the valley, it's full of orange groves. And so they're tucked away on a ranch up there, and they're selling their oranges, and they're probably doing some other things, in those orange boxes. And, they're tied into Bootsy, who used to work for them. And, Hampton needed to get out. He was afraid he was going to lose Astoria. He couldn't wait any longer in prison. He needed to get out. And when the situation happened in episode one, where there was riots and his time was pushed back, he had to call Bootsy and say, "Hey man, can you help me?" And Bootsy, you know, uses his Prevost connections. They have guys inside. And so they kind of, you know, helped him out.
"And I think you have a date on our books."
I think there was a bit of a miscommunication with Bootsy. Wasn't aware that you guys did me the favor. But I'm on it. I thought I had the cash, but it became unexpectedly unavailable.
"You debted $2,000, Mr. Chambers."
Bokeem Woodbine plays Hampton's friend Bootsy, and Bokeem has said that when the set designer and the wardrobe people are on the same page as the actors and the directors, it makes him feel like he's in a time machine. Is that what makes his portrayal of Bootsy so memorable?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bokeem is a genius actor, you know, and what I love about what he does is he's a true artist.
Can you drop me off? I'm short on time.
Time? It's an illusion. Construct made by man to control the sheep.
What do you think?
There is no past, there is no present, there is no future. It's all happening right now, so slow down and enjoy the view.
He really appreciated the detail in the production design because he could react, you know, he wanted to feel the texture. He talked a lot with the production designer. He talked a lot with Nancy Steiner, the costumer, and built backstories. The way he dressed, what shoes he was wearing for the day, what his favorite colors were, and what did he want to do in the future, like as his character, you know. He wanted to retire and have a horse ranch. So, you know, he has boots.
Yeah.
He loves martial arts. On another scene, you see him with the karate shoes on. So I think Bokeem, you know, to answer your question, is just creatively, he really appreciates the tools that he has to work with and works great with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. Speaking of your costume designer, Nancy Steiner, she has this great understanding of your wheelhouse in terms of fashion. And she has said that Wes Anderson's films are influential for you, with a touch of David Lynch thrown in. How have Wes and David influenced your work?
Yeah, well, what I like about Wes is... it reminds me, like, some of the stuff, the costuming stuff, and it just sort of taps into, like, this kind of humor, you know, this kind of offbeat tone,
yeah,
which I love. And then the Lynch stuff is just very odd and surreal.
Yeah.
Nancy worked with David Lynch. Like, I was really wanting to work with her just based on all the work that she'd done over the years, you know, and she has a unique style herself. So I thought that she would bring a really sort of, this would feel period, but it would feel modern at the same time and have an edge of a fun sort of hipness to it. So that's what I thought she would bring to it, which I'm really happy with the results.
Yeah. You co-created the show with writer-executive producer Aisha Carr. David Oyelowo has described you as a fantasist whose imagination is bursting with possibility. How would you describe Aisha and the way you worked with each other to create the show?
Well, okay, that's fun. I think, like, working with Aisha, you know, one of the things that she brought to the table was, you know, she had a really good sense for structure in terms of a season arc. You know, she would look at some of the scenes and, you know, we would always say, listen, let's not hold back. Let's be unapologetic because, you know, one of the things that I learned is you can't be subtle in some things. You know, you have to sort of really push it. You know, just the creative process in general with, you know, Aisha and everyone else is just about really communicating, keeping the emotions true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. I loved how you opened episode 5 with A Day in the Life at Temple Hillel Public Access Film starring Rabbi Marty. And Aisha has said that the two of you wanted to find new ways to tell stories that don't feel like a half-hour series. I'd say this opening qualifies. Can you tell us about this approach?
Sure. You know, I resisted wanting to do a television series for a long time because I didn't really love the format so much and the style that shows were done. And so one of the first things I said was, okay, if we go down this road, you know, let's make short films. Let's break the rules. So one of the things that, you know, we would talk about was, okay, let's set up like the theme of the episode, whatever this is, and let's do it in a fun way. And that kind of sets up the episode. And then we kind of go into the story.
Welcome to Temple Hillel. My name is Rabbi Marty. Today, I'll take you through some things you'll see and some things to keep in mind during your visit. Just be respectful. Shalom.
David Oyelowo is great as Hampton Chambers. What does he bring to Government Cheese?
And David, as an actor, he brings, he grounds it. He's able to play, you know, and have the command of tone, which is not easy in this because, you know, we're not going for laughs. We're not going for jokes. He's not hunting for jokes. But the situations are absurd, and that's what brings out the humor. That's what makes the humor fun and unique. And he brings an elegance to the character.
Yeah. Let's talk about the rest of Hampton's family, starting with his wife, Astoria, who is played by Simone Missick. She is really great in this part. What does she bring to her character?
With all the actors, they brought a lot of their sort of personal stories to it, and like how they grew up. Some of the, you know, and when I met Simone, I remember she talking about she had an aunt that reminded her of Astoria, and she's a very patient performer, and we didn't want her to feel like she was angry, but we wanted to feel like she was having a lot of conflict with, you know, do I stay home and just be, you know, a traditional mom, or do I go for my dream? And so that was sort of her, the challenge with Astoria there.
Fridge is broken?
The fridge, the stove, the windows are leaking, the water heater.
Well, I'm home now, so I promise to fix
it. Now that you are home, we can add your broken promises to the list.
There's some sibling rivalry between Hampton and Astoria's sons. Can you tell us about their characters?
Sure. The Harrison character is closer to me, and my brother's closer to Einstein. And Harrison was, you know, very passionate about the Chumash Native American culture, as was I when I was younger. But not so much a Chumash, but just the Native American culture. One of our neighbors was Apache. And he shared a lot of stories with us growing up. And, you know, I just was inspired by him and loved his sort of pride that he had. And so I was, you know, really excited by that. And my brother, you know, as you can see in the show, like Einstein, like, you know, he does great, cool yo-yo tricks. And
yes. Yeah.
Which, you know, my brother was one of those kind of kids who was like, you know, could play an instrument without thinking about it and just get in front of a piano, play piano, drums, yo-yoing. So, and, you know, he loves language. So, yeah. You know, like any family, you know, there's layers to it, and just wanted to capture the family in a real way.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Einstein character is happy to see his dad. He's just in his own world. And then the Harrison character is frustrated because he actually wanted his dad to be around.
Come on, say hello to your father.
You're not my father.
Genealogy is an indisputable fact, son.
Hey, Pops.
Einstein! Let me look at you. Whoa, you got tall. Taller than me. Are those the sneakers I gave you?
You mean the ones you took off a dead inmate?
They make me invincible.
You've been invincible since the day you were born.
Hampton and Harrison are very much alike. So there's a lot of tension between them.
Yeah, of course.
But at the same time, when there's tension, there's probably a lot of love there.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. Paul Hunter, congratulations on Government Cheese. It's a very unique and very funny and surreal series. I'm looking forward to the rest of season one and to season two.
Thank you, Doug.
Paul Hunter is the co-creator of Apple TV Plus's Government Cheese. Find out more about Paul and government cheese at WPR.org/beta.
That screen maybe is a metaphor for other screens, you know, like social media or just the way that they have of not quite taking the world around them seriously.
Coming up, debut novelist Vijay Khurana explores the messiness of masculinity and friendship in the passenger seat. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.